Good morning. We hope this is a wonderful morning for you, especially when we think of what it reminds us of, what it represents. We think of Easter Sunday and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let's just ask the Lord that we would honor him in our time together. God, we thank you so much for sending your Son to be the Savior of the world. We thank you that he came willingly, and he came ultimately to die on a cross to pay for our sin. But we rejoice that he did not stay on the cross or in the tomb, but he's resurrected. We rejoice in that. But Father, we pray as we spend these moments together that we will just draw near to you, and may your Spirit work. May we be instructed by your word. May my words be consistent with your will, and may this be a wonderful time just to rejoice in the resurrected Lord Jesus. So we thank you in his name. Amen. I came across this little story. It said a missionary was sitting in her second story window when she was handed a letter from home. Obviously, she was on the mission field. As she opened the letter, a crisp, new $10 bill fell out. Well, she was pleased. She was surprised. As she read the letter, though, her eyes were distracted somewhat by a movement of a shabbily dressed stranger that was down below, leaning against a post in front of the building where she lived. She couldn't get him off her mind, and thinking that he might be in greater financial stress than she slipped the bill, the $10 bill, into an envelope on which she quickly pinned, "Don't despair." So that was on the outside of the envelope with the $10 in it. And she threw it out the window. The stranger below saw it, picked it up, read it, looked up at her, smiled, and tipped his hat and went his way. Well, the next day, the missionary, she was getting ready to go out. Well, she heard a knock at the door, you know, a little knock, and so she went. Well, to her surprise, it was the same little man who was shabbily dressed, and he was smiling, and he handed her a roll of bills, of money. And she said, "Well, what is this?" He said to her, he says, "That's the 60 bucks, lady, that you won. Don't despair, paid 5-1. Well, Don't Despair was apparently a horse in a race, and that she did not know, but she bet on. That's what this man thought. So she won this money on Don't Despair. You know what? We live in a world that is in despair. We think of the virus. We think of just situations that people are in, even apart from the virus. And people despair. You know what? We don't need to despair, but it's not because someone won some money on a horse race. It's because we have a wonderful Savior available to us. There is hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Oh, how wonderful to hear those words. A living hope. A hope that cannot be extinguished, as one says. What a wonderful reality. In a hurting world, we need hope instead of despair. May God show us why we can have confidence in the reality of that resurrection, so we have confident hope as we face whatever we have to face in our time and in our future. I'd like to just walk through going from the death and then through the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus to prove without a doubt that he is risen. He is risen. You know those words in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, Paul writes, "I delivered to you as of first importance." This is absolutely critical. what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he died. He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. He died to pay for our sins. And that was promised in the scriptures. In verse 4, and he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. He was raised. He died for our sins, and he's raised on the third day. Now, as we think of the story, that there were women, Mary Magdalene among them, who had gone to the tomb. This is before they knew anything about the resurrection. They went to take spices to somehow minister to the body of the Lord Jesus that they assumed was dead. And Mary Magdalene went, and she had told Peter and John that the tomb was empty after she had discovered this, and they had gone there, and they couldn't find the body, and so Peter and John left. Mary, however, lingered behind. And we have the first resurrection appearance to Mary Magdalene. John 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Oh, she loved the Lord Jesus. She was weeping. And so she wept, and she stooped down, and she looked into the tomb. And then she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she supposed that this person was the gardener, and she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will come and take him away." And Jesus said, "Mary." And she heard his voice say her name, and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And she clung to him. And Jesus said to her, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came. She did. She came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Now, she told this to the disciples. The first resurrection to Mary Magdalene, who had such devotion to the Lord Jesus. But keep in mind, in the story, Mary and other women had come. Well, the other ladies had gone back to tell the disciples of what they had heard from the angels. And here we have the second resurrection appearance. And behold, Jesus met them, these other women, and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They worshiped him. They recognized him. They worshiped him. You know, one of the things about Easter, when we think of the resurrected Lord Jesus, is a time to draw us to worship. Now, of course, it's not the only time to worship him. We are to worship him on a regular basis, but the resurrected Lord Jesus deserves our worship. And Easter is a wonderful time just to lift our hearts in praise and adoration. Now, meanwhile, Mary Magdalene, she had gone back after she had seen the resurrected Lord. She went back and reported to them what she had seen. And while they were mourning and weeping, it says in Mark 16, verse 11, it says, when they heard that he was alive, as Mary had reported, and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. They refused. Now, obviously, disbelief could be understood in this situation. I mean, they had seen the Lord Jesus brutally beaten and crucified. And even in their cultures, one of the interesting side notes of their culture is one writes, in the first century Palestine, women had a low status as citizens. And so even their testimony was suspect at that time in history. But isn't it interesting? The Lord picks Mary Magdalene and these other two women to be the very first ones that see the risen Lord. Isn't that a great thing? But you know what it says to us? If somebody has been accused that somebody made up this story and it's not true that Jesus rose, you know, if somebody in that time was going to make up the story, they'd never let women be the first testimonies of the resurrected Jesus. But the reality of the truth of the story is seen in that God gives these women the testimony, the opportunity to be the first ones to see and report of the resurrected Lord Jesus. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, they were telling of what they had seen to the apostles. But it says in Luke 24, these words appeared to the apostles to be nonsense, and they would not believe. You know, it's interesting. The word nonsense is a medical term of that day, and it means wild talk, as if someone is sick and then they're in a delirious state and they're just kind of out of their heads and they're saying all kinds of stuff. And that's what they thought. These women were just out of their heads. They didn't believe the report. You know, of course, today there are many people that just think, oh, this story of the resurrection is just bizarre. You know, those Christians, they're just quacks. You know, I remember the testimony of Josh McDowell. He spoke of his early days in university. And he made some new friends when he came to university, made some friends, and they turned out to be Christian friends. Well, Josh McDowell definitely at that point was not a Christian. Josh McDowell said, they challenged me intellectually to examine the claims of Jesus Christ, that he's God's son, examine the fact that he came, he took on humanity, human flesh, he lived among men, and he died on a cross, and then he rose from the dead. He said there was this one young man among those friends. And he said to Josh, as Josh was in, you know, just starting to get to know these people, and they were talking about the Lord Jesus, he said, this young man said to Josh, says, I have a suggestion. And Josh kind of, he reflected back on this guy. He was short. He had thick glasses. His hair stood up straight. Josh thought of him as a goofball. Somebody, you know, kind of, whoa, you know, right? But this man said to Josh, this fellow student said, disprove Jesus' resurrection and you disprove the claims of Christianity. You know, it's true. And, you know, Josh, he thought Christians were a bunch of idiots. You know, they're ding-a-lings, right? But interesting, he eventually began to pursue in order to understand. And, of course, his goal was to put this whole thing and shove it away and denounce it as, you know, a fable, a myth. But, you know, at the end, you may well know, and you've heard the name, perhaps, Josh McDowell. He ended up becoming a Christian. He realized there was genuine, legitimate evidence that the Lord Jesus is who he said he was, and he did what he did. He rose from the dead. Josh McDowell became a believer, became an apologist to defend the faith. He went on to write Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Even he wrote the book Evidence for the Resurrection. You know what? There's evidence, solid evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, of course, we always have doubters, and there's always those who, no matter what the evidence is, will deny. The religious leaders who had been responsible to get Christ on the cross heard what the soldiers had said about this event, that the body was gone, and they said there was a resurrection. But the religious leaders gave money to the soldiers to quiet them up, to shut them up. Don't tell what really happened. Interesting. They would not, these religious leaders would not give an honest evaluation to examine the evidence of the resurrection. You know, and of course, that's often what happens today. Oh, please, just give an honest evaluation. Just look at the facts. Just allow those facts to at least be looked at carefully so that you can think this thing through and realize the reality of the truthfulness that Jesus is alive. This brings us to the third resurrection appearance, and this was to Simon Peter. In Luke 24, verse 34, it says, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Well, you know, this was a big deal for Simon, right? Because Simon had denied the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus had a special personal appearance to Simon, Simon Peter. I'm sure in part to encourage Simon, "Simon, even though you failed, even though you denied me, I love you. I'm here for you." You know, it's a wonderful reminder to us when we fail, the Lord Jesus doesn't dump us, doesn't write us off. But he appeared to Simon. And then the fourth appearance. This is an interesting appearance. There's two followers, and you perhaps remember the story. They were on their way to the village of Emmaus. And there's two guys walking along, and they were talking about, this was what there was in their mind, the aftermath of the effect of the crucifixion. And they were, I'm sure, grieving together as they were walking along. And Jesus began to walk with them. Now, of course, they didn't have a clue who he was. But Jesus said to these two men, this is Luke 24, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken." They had prophesied of the future death and resurrection of the Messiah. Verse 26, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" As they were walking along, and then they had a time where they took bread, and the Lord Jesus gave it to them, blessed him, and they recognized. And it says their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then he just vanished. But they realized they had been in the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus. And in Luke 24:33, it says, "And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem." Can't you imagine? They were just running as fast as they could go. And they found, gathered together the 11 of those who were with them, and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen. The Lord has really risen." What a wonderful thing. Here you have these, this is the fourth appearance, and they finally awaken to the reality. They were speaking to the resurrected Christ, and now they share that. Well, on the fifth appearance, the fifth resurrection appearance, we find it in John 20. It was evening on that day, and the doors were shut. The disciples were there in Jerusalem, and Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Don't you imagine that's exactly what they needed to hear? "Peace be with you." And this is the first appearance to the larger group of disciples. In John 20, verse 20 says this, "And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord." They rejoiced. You see, not only does the resurrection of the Lord Jesus call us to faith, to trust in him, but it calls us to rejoice in him. Oh, this is the reason to have joy in life, even when life is not working the way we want it to. We have a resurrected Lord Jesus, and this day is a great day to rejoice together. You know, if the Lord Jesus wasn't alive, had not come back from the dead after dying on the cross, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." Isn't it great, though? He's not in the grave. He's alive, and we are not in our sins if we've trusted him as our Savior. He is raised. He is risen. And we should be the most joyful people on the planet, no matter what we have to face. You know, we think of this virus, we think of all the tragedies around the world, and sometimes those tragedies sneak right into our life. But we as believers have reason for joy. Now, one of the things that did not happen on this event, because one of the disciples was not at the gathering, and that disciple was Thomas. And Thomas was not there. He was not with them, it says in John 20, as the passage goes on. The disciples were saying to Thomas, it says, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "Unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Isn't that so true of so many other people? You know, in our culture, seeing is believing, right? Kind of the motto of many. But you know what? The Lord Jesus does not want us to stay in denial. Now, the days go on. Thomas has not yet seen the Lord personally. It says in Acts 1 verse 3, "And these apostles he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs." And this is the longer period of time, over a period of 40 days, in speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. The Lord's appearances attest to the reality of his resurrection. But remember, at that early time, the 10 of the apostles had seen the Lord Jesus. Remember, Judas was not in the picture at this point. 10, but Thomas had not seen. And this brings us to the 6th resurrection appearance, the following Sunday. John 20, verse 26, "After 8 days, Jesus' disciples were again inside, and Thomas at this time was with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst. And he said, 'Peace be with you.'" And he said, he turned his attention. You know, the other apostles are there, but he turned his eyes and his attention to Thomas. And I'm sure he looks him straight in the eyes. Probably Thomas is trying to, he's not sure what to do and what to think. But he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." How many times have people said, "Oh, if I could only see a miracle, I'd believe"? Well, you know what? Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are those who do not see but yet believe." You see, we have the facts. We have the information. We have the biblical truth, the reality. We have enough information to believe. And God calls us to believe, to trust in Christ. One scholar has said, "Taken as a whole, the appearances of the Lord Jesus in his resurrection state are of such a various character and to so many people under so many different circumstances that the proof of the resurrection of Christ is as solid as any historical fact could be cited in the first century." Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, to be a Christian, you don't throw your brain away. There's facts, biblical facts, truth that you can trust your life upon. This brings us to our 7th resurrection appearance. The disciples are at the Sea of Tiberias. Peter and the other disciples, Peter and he's gone fishing. You know, what he knew and what they were doing, maybe they need something to eat. They've gone fishing. And then the Lord Jesus again talks to Peter. And he says this. When he had finished breakfast, he's with us. Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. But he said to him, tend my lambs. You know, one of the things I think is wonderful, again, we think of Peter and his failure, you know, and us and our failure. But you know what? The Lord doesn't give up. In fact, the Lord has purpose for each of us. And he comes to Peter and he says, hey, I got a job for you to do. Care for my sheep. Care for my kids. It's a wonderful thing. God, in his resurrection, the Lord Jesus in his resurrected state, has a plan for you, a purpose for you. He wants to accomplish things through your life. But we come back to another resurrection, our eighth resurrection appearance. The 11 disciples proceed to Galilee, and it appears that they, and then this appears to be the time when all 500 that are mentioned, there's a number, a passage in 1 Corinthians 15, 6 says this, and he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now. In other words, most of them were still alive when this is written, but some of them have fallen asleep. It's an amazing thing. He's saying there's over 500 people that have seen the resurrected Christ. And he said, you know what? If you don't believe me, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, if you don't believe me, ask one of them. They saw. This is evidence, solid evidence. Not just one person who had some kind of, you know, mysterious moment or some, you know, vision that was not real. No, these are people, real people in different situations, but a number of them are witnesses of the resurrected Christ. What a wonderful thing to have this solid evidence. And then we see the ninth resurrection appearance. He appeared to his half-brother, James. Possibly, it seems that James, his half-brother, was not saved before his crucifixion, but after he is saved. And then we come to the 10th resurrection appearance. He appeared to his disciples. This is 40 days after the resurrection. He gathered them together, as is told to us in Acts 1. And he says, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. This is what, when he's together, this is his instruction to them. Wait for what the Father has promised. And he's talking about when the Spirit of God would come in a very unique, wonderful way to establish his church. And at this point, and after these instructions, it said, and he said, after he said these things, he was lifted up while he was looking on, while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And in Luke 24:51, it said, or 52, and they after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were convinced that he was resurrected and he was alive. The resurrection has solid evidence for its reality. One has stated, a believer in Jesus Christ today can have complete confidence, as did the first Christians, that his faith is based not on myth or legend, but on the solid historical fact of the risen Christ and the empty tomb. You know, the reality of the resurrection has so many wonderful benefits. The first one, as we've said, is faith. We can trust Christ because he died for our sins and he's alive. We can trust him for our salvation and for all of our life. Faith. But also it brings joy. We see great joy of those who realized he was alive. You know, maybe today you need joy. You know, your heart has sunk. It is sad for whatever reason. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe your finances are the pits. But you know what? In the resurrected Lord, there is joy. I encourage you, draw near to him, trust him, and find your joy in him. Also, it brings us to worship. And as we have said, we are a people, because of all that Christ is to us and has done for us, we should worship him, adore him, reverence him. And then finally, it gives us hope. Again, we read that wonderful passage in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Christ gives us reason for hope that cannot be extinguished. There's a story told years ago. A submarine had sunk off the coast of Massachusetts. These were far before the days when anything really could be done. They tried everything to see how they could save these men had sunk that were entombed in that submarine on the bottom of floor of the ocean. And they tried, but nothing would work. And they knew, those on the outside knew, there was no way these men could be delivered alive. A deep sea diver went down, and he heard a little something. He heard a little something, just a little something, a little pinging sound, and he realized that some sailor on the inside of that ship was tapping the Morse code for anybody who might be on the outside. And as he tapped the Morse code, this is what he asked: "Is there any hope?" Now let me say this. All of those men died in that submarine. But for those men in that submarine who had their faith in the Lord Jesus, there was ultimate hope because they had a living Savior. You know, one day, if the Lord doesn't come back, all of us will die. But you know what? If we have our hope in the Lord Jesus, we have hope that will take us right into eternity, into the presence of the Lord, and live with Him forever. I've told this story in the past, but my mom had a terrible, terrible fall. And she had been ill anyway. She'd been in the hospital, and she had this terrible fall. And it ended up, as they x-rayed her and did everything they could for her, they realized that she had broke her neck. And so they had obviously done everything they could for her. They'd put her in this big neck brace. They put everything. She was in the hospital. I had heard about this. I was flying back home to see my mom in the hospital. But the day before, the day I was flying, and before I got there, her two brothers and one sister came to the hospital, and they were around the hospital bed. Obviously, their hearts were very sad. They loved my mom very much. And they were there. And, of course, Mom's heart was very weak, and she couldn't move, and she could hardly speak, and her voice was very, very soft. But she realized, her sister realized that Mom was going to say something, because they were all there and kind of grieving together. And so my mom's sister leaned over and tried to hear what Mom was saying. And Mom said, in her little words, "You gotta go sometime." Well, a moment of laughter, in a moment of sad, in a time of sadness. But you know what? Mom knew where she was going. Mom knew the resurrected Lord Jesus. And she knew her home was awaiting her. And that very night, she went home to be with the Lord Jesus. You see, the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection is what gives us a living hope in often a sad world. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus loved you so much? He loved me so much. He died on the cross. But then He came back to life. And each one of us, if we'll put our faith in Him, can have everlasting life with Him. May this be the time. If you've never trusted Him, may this be the season. May this be the day when you put your faith in Him. Because you have all the reason. In the in the Lord Jesus, in the reality of who he was and what he did and the assurance of his resurrection, we have all the reason to have confidence and have a living hope. May that be true for each of us. In his name, we just pray. God, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you what he did for us. We thank you that he died for us. And we rejoice that he lives. Thank you. And in him, we have living hope. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In his name, amen.